Welcome to the Clubhouse with Shane Bacon. I am your host, Shane Bacon. And yes, this is a Tiger Woods reactionary podcast. It's a 20-minute conversation I had with ESPN's Kevin Van Valkenburg, good buddy of mine, just talking about what he saw. It was his first time seeing Tiger since the PGA Championship back in 2015. And I just wanted to wrap back and forth with him a little bit about the goods and the bads of being that close to Tiger in his fifth round back of 2018. He's the hot button topic right now in golf. Well, he's always the hot button topic right now in golf, but I think more than ever, and we get into this towards the end of the podcast, more than ever, the interest is really, really high because we've seen a healthy looking Tiger Woods. We've seen a motivated, determined, a different kind of guy than maybe we've seen in returns of past. So I find it interesting. It is the storyline of the year thus far. And so we dive deep into Tiger. We talked a little Rory as well. Talk the crowds and the buzz around this event. This is the best field of the year so far on the PGA Tour. Of course, this clubhouse is brought to you by Ogio. I talk a lot about the great golf bags and travel bags Ogio has, but today I'm going to talk about the Renegade Backpack. I'm going to say it only because I was traveling the other day. I had my laptop in it, had my iPad in it. I dropped my bag about 12 feet, went downstairs all freaked out, of course. I don't want to have to go buy a new laptop screen or a new iPad, and they were both safe. That's because they have armored sleeves for both. It is a great backpack. I see more and more people traveling with this thing. Smart travelers, too. All the people that travel with the Ogio Renegade backpack just look like geniuses. Mensa members, if you will. Ogio is one of the leaders in all bags. You can do travel bags, backpacks, golf bags, everything. And if you go to ogio.com right now, you can save 20% at checkout if you use the offer code THECLUBHOUSE. All one word, THECLUBHOUSE. Use it at ogio.com. Save some money. You will thank me later. And I just wanted to say we started a Clubhouse Pod Instagram account, same as the Twitter handle, at the Clubhouse Pod. It's just a place that we're going to post pictures of fans with Clubhouse koozie stickers. And when we're out at a golf course, we'll post some pictures as well using the gear. Just a cool place for everybody to come together. So follow that if you haven't already, at the Clubhouse Pod. That is enough of me. Let's get to KVV. And we welcome back into the Clubhouse one of my favorite guests, always, Kevin Van Valkenburg from ESPN.com. You can follow him, as of now, on Twitter, at KVanValkenburg. That's B-U-R-G at the end. And KVV, you were out at Riviera today. You got a chance to follow Tiger Woods around. When is the last time you got to see Tiger play a competitive round before this Thursday?
I would say that it was a sad, nondescript round at Whistling Straits in the PGA Championship.
So that was
the last time I saw him in person. Yeah.
I mean, you
15?
Know, yeah. I mean, it was, I mean, that was the last time we saw, I mean, that was Jason Day, and that was Jason Day versus Spieth. I mean, you know, this is a guy that, you know, we've talked about a return. You and I've talked about a return on this podcast before. You got a chance to walk all 18 holes with him today. I just wanted to say, first off, what were your thoughts? I mean, we know what a score was. What were your thoughts seeing him play, you know, 10 through 9 at Riviera?
You know, I think the driver is still kind of a mess. I think he thinks it's a little bit better than it really is. You know, he was sort of talking about how he just needed to trust that he could just go really hard at it every time. But you know, he went hard at it on 9, which was his 18th today, and was over in the fairway bunker on 10. I mean, it was a horrid miss, right? And there was a couple that were just awful. I kind of wonder, this is a rooty thing to throw right out off the top, but I kind of think their driver yips might be in play here, that is a legitimate thing. Let's keep that in mind as the year goes on, but and I'll come back on this podcast and we'll assess. But I think that we might be talking about the driver yips throughout the year. I mean, I don't know what it is. He just, I don't know that it's quite the rust that he thinks it is. It's just, for some reason, he gets totally out of tempo when the ball's up on a tee, and he can't quite swing the way he wants. You know, we're talking, he hit 8 fairways today, but he hit a couple three woods. Like, he hit some monster three woods. You know, the Friday, Andy Johnson and I were talking about, why doesn't he just hit three wood for a while until he really finds a place where he can trust the driver, but I'm just not sure. I don't know if the driver's ever going to be really fixed. We might look at a be looking at a Phil driver type driving career the rest of the time we have him out here.
Well, you know, the thing that we that he did do today well, and he even mentioned this in his Golf Channel interview after, was he was missing it one way. I mean, this is what they always talk about, right? The pros talk about they want to take one side of the golf course out of play. Tiger's infamously always try to take that left side out. He wants to hit it right and block it right if he's going to miss it. But it is interesting you talk about the driving yips, because the tee shot he hit at 5, that iron he hit off the tee there at 5, and I mean, you know, the camera angle was behind him, but it looked like he pull sliced it. I mean, it looked like it was a intended stinger that he almost came over the top and was trying to correct. And the announcers even mentioned it looked like he kind of flinched on it a little bit. You know, that is a golf shot that you're pulling a long iron out and you're expecting obviously to just poke it down there in the fairway and have a 8-iron in, and that's what you're trying to do. Did it seem like when it was on a peg, no matter what the club was, it felt uncomfortable, or did it simply seem like he looked uncomfortable when it was the driver?
It did seem a little bit like when it was on a peg, it felt uncomfortable. I mean, he had a couple on one of the par threes where he sort of blocked it right, where he, the beautiful par three that's like the shorty, I forget which one it is, you know, 15 or something, but something about it doesn't really feel uncomfortable. I mean, I thought that stinger was going to hit somebody in the head. It was really pull yanked. And he was like, oh, you know, I just caught the tree and I was annoyed. No, no, that, even if that tree wasn't there, that ball was going into the deep hay.
Right.
And he made a pretty good swing to sort of gouge it out there and give himself a chance to get up and down, but it was ugly. And so I don't know whether that's just the kind of competitive juices flowing, the feeling of, you know, maybe I'm not hitting down as much on it, or, you know, I don't know, but it's, I will say we didn't see any, like, any hesitation over any chips, any look where he was feeling uncomfortable. And I think we can kind of put the chipping yips to bed, right? I mean,
right.
That seems like forever ago. And his short game continues to be really, really good. I mean, he hit a flop shot today after missing the green once that was unbelievable. He had a great bunker shot to save a par. I mean, I feel like, if he can sort of, you know, he's still like such a smart, like, tactician and such a sort of like grinder. It's kind of the opposite of Rory. It's, you know, you see Rory miss a shot, kind of lose focus and get pissed and then have to sort of, you know, reset. And Tiger never really seems like he's out of it. He's going to sort of, you know, it's sort of cliche to say, but he's going to fight to get those pars, and he's going to end up with more of them than not. And that's a good sign, right? That's how today could have easily been a 75, and he turned it into 72.
Yeah, I mean, I wrote it on Twitter, and your colleague Bob Herrig mentioned, you know, one of his most underrated qualities is his ability to grind out a round. I mean, he grinded this round out. It could have got away, made some seriously important up and downs for pars. And when the ball is in play, he made birdies. I mean, that's what he's been doing. You know, he started off with a great birdie at 10. We saw him make a couple of birdies on par fives. I mean, it seems like when it's in a good position, he feels comfortable attacking and he feels comfortable rolling putts in. And that's a good sign. That's the good stuff. It's just like you said, you know, when you're flailing drives high right all day long, you're going to make bogeys at a place like Riviera and at a place that we are going to circle back on with Tiger Woods, which are the major championships. You know, when you miss drives 15, 20, 30 yards right, you either are not going to find them or they're going to be in stuff you have to chip out sideways. I mean, you know, that again seems to be the problem with Tiger. And of course, I mean, listen, this is what, his fifth round back, you know, in 2018. I mean, maybe he will get it figured out. But this isn't the first instance of Tiger struggling with his driver. I mean, he wasn't a great driver of the golf ball his entire career. I mean, you go back to looking at the way he swung at it in his prime. I mean, you'd see him miss some big, big golf shots. Think about the tee shot at Valhalla. You know, he needs to find the fairway, and he snap hooks that thing 100 yards left of the fairway and was able to make birdie. He could recover, but right now he's leaning so much on his recovery game to get it around and one over par.
Yeah, think about, like, at the U.S. Open where he played, you know, Pebble, played the greatest golf of his entire life, and he still snap hooked that one in the ocean on that
right.
Saturday morning broadcast and dropped about 7 F-bombs. It was sort of wild. In the days before the 7-second delay, he completely nuked NBC's broadcast in that moment. But, no, I mean, you're right. Like, he's never been, like, a super accurate driver of the ball, of the golf ball. He's had stretches where he was just piping it, and he was hitting it so far that it didn't matter, and he knew kind of where to miss. But I don't know. I mean, the thing is, like, now with some other kind of stuff, you know, maybe not quite as sharp as his game, can he get away with being kind of a wild driver the way that he once was? I mean, he's the greatest iron player that ever lived. I think we agree on that. And so, you know, is that still there? Like, we hit some wedges today that I thought were just awesome. I mean, I think it was on 17, so his eighth hole of the day. You know, he played just a beautiful wedge that kind of he used the slope and pulled it back towards the pin. And Rory gets up there, you know, right before that and bombs it, you know, 10 yards over the green and stuff. And it's just, it showed me the difference in the two of them, I think, where Tiger still kind of knows and understands, like, how to use slopes and exactly how far he's going to hit his wedges. And Rory's still kind of completely guessing about, you know, where is this ball going to end up and making bogeys on from the fairway with wedge in his hand.
Yeah, I mean, I wanted to touch on Rory in a bit. I did want to ask you just the feeling you got, you know, inside the ropes, following these guys for 18 holes. I mean, this is as anticipated a threesome on a Thursday in a non-major as you're ever going to get. I mean, you know, Justin Thomas mm-hmm. coming off the year he had, Rory, of course, you know, trying to find something. I mean, he's hitting the ball off the tee, unbelievable, but trying to find a way to shoot 3 and 4 under with where he places his drives. And then, of course, you got Tiger Woods. What was it like with those three? What was the dynamic between those three guys throughout the round?
You know, it was good. It wasn't quite as sort of like buzzy. It was, you know, so early this morning. They, you know, teed off at like 7:16 or something, and maybe 7:20. It's cold, so they're all a little bit sort of stiff, and you can see them sort of stretching out. And there wasn't a ton of fans out here. But as it sort of got going, as it heated up, you could feel it getting excited. Riv is a shot maker's course, as you know, but it's not a course where like guys are going to reel off a ton of birdies in a row. And so it's hard for like the momentum to kind of, you know, get going a ton and people to get really jazzed up. I mean, I felt a little bit like the crowds were sort of subdued early this morning. And then on the back nine, they were kind of a little bit excited. You know, there was some guys, like just some construction workers up in the canyons there, just howling like wild wolves at Tiger as he was swinging and one of the wedge, and he made a birdie. I think it was his 17th of the day, and that didn't seem to bother him too much. But you know, to be honest, it was kind of chill. It was pretty quiet. This is my first trip here, and obviously it's beautiful here, and you have to really know where to miss and know where to put shots. But there isn't quite like an electric kind of crowd I think early on a Thursday morning that you would think for this threesome. They got along, you know, they're all obviously very friendly and joked a lot and were sort of giving each other crap as they were walking around. And that was fun to see. It's fun to see Tiger kind of smile. You know, I think it's kind of gone is some of the sort of steely kind of, you know, I don't want to talk to anybody attitude that he once had. And he seems slapping media members on the back on a tee and have to wait for a while and making jokes with Rory and stuff like that. So that's good to see.
Yeah, I mean, I've equated him to the last couple of years of Kobe, when it seemed like Kobe was out there and he was more jovial with the other teammates than he was with his own teammates, where he'd pick the guys up and you're like, this is the same guy that would do that face and the Mamba mentality when he would hit a big shot, and now he's high fiving IT as IT drives to the lane. It just, you know, you get a little bit of that from Tiger, but I was interested to hear how he was with those two guys, especially with kind of the comments he made earlier this week about, you know, I'm ready to win. You know, we'll see how it goes with these guys when I'm in contention. I mean, it does seem like Tiger is going to be buddy buddies with these guys. I am interested to see what it's like if he's out there and he's, you know, he's 6 and 7 under and JT's 2 over. You know, what's the conversation like right there? There's probably not going to be as many words as there is when they're all kind of struggling a little bit with their games. I wanted to, you mentioned Rory for a bit. The wedge game still just all over the place. I mean, it's really befuddling when you watch it. I can't put my finger on what the deal is. It just, is he swinging too hard at him? Does it seem like he doesn't really have a second and third gear with the wedges?
Yeah. I mean, that's, I think what it feels like to me is that, you know, he's just going hard at every wedge. I mean, I'm not a golf swing guru, so I feel a little bit, you know, sort of silly kind of trying to analyze what he should do differently. I mean, in my layman's terms, I could tell you maybe he needs to get a little more shallow with wedges, not so steep with him, you know, because he just hits it so high and he doesn't kind of have quite the same, you know, control as some of the other players. But I feel a little bit like, this is so early to say this, but, you know, at some point Rory's going to kind of run out of excuses in terms of, like, and I think we've been, well, because we like Rory, we think he's sort of a great, you know, ambassador for the game. He's just a friendly kind of person. It's so much fun when he's in it. But, you know, I think for a long time we thought, well, you know, maybe he just needs a new voice on the bag. Maybe, you know, if JP's not there, he'll do it better. And then it was maybe, you know, he needs to find equipment that's right for him, you know, when Nike going out of business, and, you know, maybe going to TaylorMade, you know, he was sort of saying, maybe I need a ball that will sort of cut through the wind. And then it was, well, maybe I just need to get healthy and shake off all the rust. And all those things have kind of gone by, and he's still sort of totally lost with a wedge in his hand to a degree where a pro just shouldn't be. I mean, a pro shouldn't be missing, you know, the green by 10 yards with a wedge in his hand. It right. just doesn't seem, you know, when you got Dustin Johnson, who, you know, has the equivalent of Rory's long game, you know, he's become the best wedge player in the world and can hit it, you know, to within 2 to 3 yards every time. That's why. It isn't that, like, DJ's always been a great driver of the ball. And now it's just that he knows kind of where to leave putts and give himself chances. And Rory's not a great putter as it is. So he's not only is he not the best putter, but he's not giving himself those chances that he would give himself in 14. And I'm kind of wondering if 14, is that the outlier where, you know, the 1 year where he hit good wedges and all the other years are not? Like, that's what we're looking like statistically. I don't want to believe that, but statistics tell me a different story.
Yeah, you know, for any young hopeful potential professional golfer that's listening to this podcast, let KVV and I tell you, if you're really nice to the media and you're honest and genuine, we'll give you like a 4-year pass. Like what you said, as you were saying that, I was thinking to myself, we literally, it's so true. It was equipment. It was caddy. It was ball. It was driver. I mean, it was health. It's
injury
all,
too, yeah.
all these
yeah.
things, your personal life. And you just get yep. to a point where you're like, you know, you should be one of the best players in the world, yet there's this one part of your game that you can't seem to figure out. It is confounding because, as you said, we all like Rory. We like to watch Rory because what he does with a golf ball, for whatever reason, it kind of grips us. I mean, really, in my opinion, yep. he's the first guy since Tiger that can kind of captivate an enormous audience with his ability to hit a golf ball. I mean, more than Dustin Johnson, yep. which is kind of crazy, but he still yep. just can't dial those in. And he'll have those rounds where he has a 5-putt and a 3-putt, and he'll miss 3 wedges from 120 yards, and he shoots 73. And you're going, I can't believe you could even shoot yeah. 73.
Yeah, it doesn't make sense. I don't know whether it's mental at this point. I mean, so much of golf is mental, and maybe it's just he needs some confidence somewhere and needs to, you know, to get go somewhere and win a tournament where the field isn't that strong, and he could kind of, you know, pick off a win that will suddenly sort of make him feel like, oh, you know, I feel good. But I mean, he played well over in the Middle East and the Emirates, so I'm not sure why. He even played well the first go at Pebble all of a sudden, but then it's like the last 2 rounds that he's played, it just seems like, oh my gosh, it's like Groundhog Day. Like, what happened to the guy who was going to come out and really just step on everyone's throat this season? I mean, there's no reason he should be the 10th ranked player in the world. I mean, that's just, it's insane to even say. Whatever. I think he might have gone up after the recent finishes, but that's where he started the year, as the 10th ranked player in the world. That's nuts.
It is so crazy. All right, so I love to ask these kind of questions because they're fresh on your mind. What was the weirdest thing you heard from a member outside the ropes, and what was the weirdest thing you heard from a member inside the ropes today? you don't have to name names.
Yeah. Outside the ropes, it's so funny to hear, like, well, I mean, the funniest thing I think was from Mr. Woods himself was when his ball got caught up in the tree. And he was like, seriously, you guys, like, none of you saw that ball come down? And it was like, no, Tiger, we swear we didn't. And he was like, oh, F me, you know, and marched back to the tee. So that was kind of old Tiger snarl of old. You know, outside the ropes, it's always fun to hear people, like, you know, Tiger hits it a mile left, and some guy's like, all right, I got $100 right here. He says he's going to make a par. The guy's like, no way. I got 100, right? I got it back. I'll take that right now. Guys are whipping out hundreds. I'm like, yeah, you know, it doesn't matter if he's won over or whatever. Like, there's still money changing hands. There's still wagers going on about what, you know, whether he's going to hit the green on this shot or not. And it's fun to at least feel that energy a little bit again.
Yeah, it's nice. I mean, again, it's nice to have him back in our lives. I mean, you know, you've been there this week. Does it feel different to you approaching this event than it's been in the last couple of years, going to events that didn't have Tiger in them, including major championships? I mean, did this feel a little bit different as you got to LA and got ready?
I think so. I mean, you know, from a media aspect, like everything that every day he's a story, you know, good, bad, indifferent, he's a story. And so people want to read it. You know, there's a reason why there's a Golf Tiger Tracker, the Golf Channel does, and it has, you know, 200,000 followers on Twitter. And like, there's a Golf Rory Tracker that has literally like 1,000 followers. Like people just who are casual fans, they want to know like, oh, Riviera's going on. Well, how's Tiger doing? You know, that's the first thing they want to ask. And so it's like, we always kind of joke about coming to a tournament. You can always write Tiger. Like if you're in need of a column, you can write Tiger, whether he did poorly, whether he did, you know, average, or whether he kicked butt. And that's a nice sort of luxury to have as a media person, because you just know that people are drawn to it regardless. And it's funny to always hear like people, you know, you read, like sometimes I'll read the comments on columns and be like, people are like, I'm so sick of Tiger. There's so many other good golfers out there. And yet like the traffic numbers on stories about Tiger are infinitely larger than like a story about, you know, Spieth winning a tournament even. It's just completely, he just captivates people in a way that no one else in golf ever has.
Yeah, I mean, I don't think in years past I would have done as many podcasts around what Tiger's doing than I have this year. But to me, I feel like first, if this is going to be the return, it's going to be his last one. I could not see him getting injured again and then trying to come back. And second, I think what he did, you know, in Albany, I think made us believe in the idea that Tiger could at least play pain-free golf. And that's what we've wanted this whole time. We just wanted to see him healthy. And so to me, this is the early season story. I mean, this is more than Dustin Johnson, Jordan Spieth, JT, Rory, all those players. The story up until we get to, you know, I mean, let's say we get mid-March. I think up until we get to maybe three starts in under Tiger's belt, this is the story, because the comeback is what we all like to root for in sports. I mean, we love watching comebacks, and that's what we're seeing right now. So I don't feel nearly as bad in 2018 doing all this Tiger stuff as I have in years past, because I find it interesting and I'm around golf all the time.
This one is more real. I mean, I watched him today. It was like a sort of a throwaway thing, but he putted up the mound on, I want to say like 7 or something. And he couldn't see where the ball was going after it sort of got over the kind of the crest of the hill. And he like darted left and sort of like almost jogged, you know, 3 steps to his right, and kind of, you know, stood on his toes to see where the ball was going and see that the through line past the hole so he could, you know, get ready for the par putt. And the quickness that he moved with struck me as like, oh, there's no way that he could have done that in 15, 16. Like, it's just the kind of liquidity that he moved with was so different than the sort of stiff, kind of awkward, like, you know, lumbering person we saw before. So that little things like that to me, where it's almost reactionary, convince me that like he is totally pain-free out there. Rory kind of almost slipped up and called it like this back surgery like a lifeline. And he's like, well, it's not really a lifeline, but you know, it has the chance to be the best thing that's ever happened to him. And, you know, I think what we're going to have to sort of accept, and you and I have always been in this kind of camp, I think, is that, you know, if he went a whole year and never had a top 10 and just was stayed healthy the entire time, I think that'd be a really good, you know, development for him. And there's a lot of people, maybe himself included, who wouldn't look at it that way. But like, whatever he gets out of this year, like, just anything other than being healthy is gravy, right? I mean, there's no, every week we kind of joke amongst our friends, like, well, what if he won? But that's not really a realistic thing just yet, even though come Masters, like, I'm going to have a night where we're sitting out on the porch somewhere having a drink, and I'm going to say, like, you know, what if you got a contention challenge? I know, but we can't talk like that. No. So all of that is going to – we're going to have to almost guard against that, the sort of optimism and realistness, the realists in us are going to have to kind of understand that just healthy right now is the goal.
Yeah, as long as he doesn't swing like he did on 12 today. He did that swing and he's got a curl and all this stuff. And I'm like, dude, can you just punch it out there left, for goodness sakes? Why are you doing this to yourself? You're 42, man.
We were joking about that. It didn't seem like he gave himself any better angle of the green there. No. If he just punched out, he might have had a better shot at getting up and down there.
So. No, nobody but, in golf history has had a better. He's had more shots where he's taken like six steps through the shot than anybody in golf history. I guarantee it. It's like he's got more of a follow through than anybody you'll ever see. I wanted to ask you a non-golf question. You're a big Baltimore guy, of course, worked at the Sun and all that. Are you going to read Jonathan Abrams' All the Pieces Matter about the Wire?
Definitely. Yes, I am. Really looking forward to it. You know, I was at the Baltimore Sun still while the fifth season of The Wire was going on, and it was really almost kind of disconcerting to feel like, oh, my God, like this does look a lot like our newsroom, and these characters are based on a lot of people who I actually worked with. I mean, the guy who made up stories in The Wire, there was a guy who was at the Sun who everyone suspected of making up stories while I was there, and it drove Dave Simon crazy. And so all of that was more real to me than it probably is to 99.9% of Wire people. And the fifth season was my least favorite. So yeah, I'm super excited to kind of get all the backstory.
Yeah.
I admired Abrams and I'm friendly with him for a long time. So.
Yeah. I already did the Kindle download. I was sitting out last night reading it. And I was of course one of those where I was like, I'm going to read it for 20 minutes. And then I'm like an hour in and I'm like, I got to put this down. I got to actually do it's Valentine's Day for goodness sakes. But that's awesome. Yeah. I mean, I figured you probably had close connections to it. I didn't know they were that close. Yeah. I'd like to do like another 45-minute podcast just about that. But I don't know if the golf fans would like that. KV, I appreciate it. Are you going to write on anything today, or are you focused on anything, or are you just there for the week figuring out what to
do? Just here for a magazine story. I'm kind of working on something Tiger-wise for the Masters. So I'm going to take a break from the daily colonizing stuff and bring that back out the Masters. But right now, just kind of working on some long-term stuff. So.
And you are back on Twitter. I know you had a little bit of a break. What are our Twitter rules? Let's go over them. What are we doing here with Twitter?
Don't engage.
Okay, not yelling.
Mute. Not yelling. Don't fight with bots. Mute anyone who's awful.
Okay.
So
Twitter's done. So you're going to delete Twitter. Okay.
Yeah. Stick to sports. Just like, you're not going to change people's minds, or you're not going to feel like you're part of a movement just by, you know, being the third guy on the pile or the 1500th person on the pile to talk pile on a topic. So just kind of have fun with it. I really needed the mental health break. And I feel like there's been like 20 things already where I've looked at and I was like, yeah, that's something I would have weighed in on back old KV. And now I'm just like, yeah, it's all good. I'm just still back to me making golf jokes.
You're a new man. So. I'm so proud of you. I'm so proud of you. Well, I appreciate the time. I'm excited to see you in a few weeks. Keep up the great work. Absolutely. Obviously, again, you can follow him at K Van Valkenburg. Kevin Van Valkenburg, appreciate it, man.
Thanks, buddy.
It looks like I'm a wreck. It's in the hole.
Many thanks to my man KVV for jumping on after Tiger's round on this Thursday. Hope you guys enjoyed the chat. Just wanted to give you something to bite into if you didn't get a chance to watch Tiger. Obviously, teed off very early on Thursday morning. Just a reminder, go to OGIO.com, OGIO.com. Check out the Renegade backpack. Check out the Cirrus golf bag. Check out their travel bags. Everything they've got is top-notch. I really, really love it. I look like I should have an OGIO tattoo when I travel at this point with my travel bag and my golf bag and my golf travel bag and my backpack, all OGIO all the time. The stuff is great. I love it. And you can save 20% off anything you get if you use the clubhouse at checkout at OGIO.com, OGIO.com. Check out their entire line of everything. Trust me, you'll enjoy it. And I hope you guys enjoyed this Clubhouse podcast. Hey, if you did, go write a review. I'd appreciate it, and you would feel better about yourself. Hope you have a great week. Hope you get out and get a chance to play golf. It looks like it's actually going to start warming up in the Northeast, so hopefully y'all can tee it up. We'll talk to you guys next week.